Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for a daily editorial. It is 10:38 a.m. here on this Tuesday morning. Got a very, very big night tonight. The Kraken, my hockey team, I never thought I'd use those words, my hockey team, but they're so much fun to watch, I got to tell you. They're playing Dallas tonight in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Should be a pretty interesting. You know, I was thinking last night about something that I thought was really interesting, and I wanted to share it with you guys, and that has to do with the extreme popularity, and you got to admit it's almost crazy how popular Donald Trump is, and the soon-to-be extreme popularity of Bobby Kennedy Jr. Why is that? Well, I want to tell you why it is, in my opinion. People really appreciate unique people, and Trump and Kennedy are both very unique people. Let me tell you why. Trump doesn't need to be the president of the United States. George Washington didn't need to be the president of the United States for personal reasons, and they both became presidents who were exceedingly popular. And I would bet that back in George Washington's day that because of the uniqueness of President Washington, he won in a landslide. And at Trump, as you all know, back in 15, won in a landslide. People really appreciate, even though he can be a bull in a china shop, people really appreciate that because he clearly is not what I would call mainstream Republican. Let me rephrase that. He's clearly not what I would call a mainstream politician. People really like that, and I think they really like that also about Bobby Kennedy Jr. Bobby Kennedy Jr. Presents himself as being, you know, kind of a, I don't want to use the word nerd, but you get what I'm saying. You know, he talks kind of funny, etc., etc. But he was the only major politician. Bobby Kennedy Jr. was the only what I would call main personality in the United States who really was against everything that we on this blog knew was very wrong, and that's the various jabs and pokes, etc., etc. And he went on the record and said that. And I think a combination of going on the record and saying something as unpopular as that, and saying it in a way that's kind of weird, I think makes him wildly popular. And I would guess that if there was a ticket, Trump and Kennedy, and if Kennedy could control Donald Trump so that he wouldn't fire him, for lack of better terms, I think that would be incredibly good for the country, and I think it would be incredibly good, basically, for the world, if you wanted to know the truth, because the personality of the United States right now, I think, is really, really not where I would like to see it. Jimmy, how about you? What do you think? Am I nuts, bud?
Yeah. Well, I think there's actually quite a few people that are talking about it. And it looks like, you know, even after the Bragg indictments and what's expected out of Fulton County with the indictments against Trump, and of course the Department of Justice and the Mar-a-Lago raids with classified document issues, Trump is pulling away from other candidates. So, and that, I mean, it's pretty powerful. The latest polling from the McLaughlin Group, I believe it's the McLaughlin Group that's doing the polling here, McLaughlin and Associates. Trump has gone from a wide open candidate primary candidacy from 43% in January to 31% against DeSantis, with about, you know, between 5 and nothing for the other, you know, 8 or 10 candidates, right, that are 12 candidates, to now he's got a 52% to 16% in this poll over DeSantis. That's huge. That's a huge gap.
You bet.
So DeSantis is not gaining ground. Trump is gaining significant ground. And really all the other candidates, the closest in the latest polling was Mike Pence by a handful of, by 6%.
Yeah.
Again, it's hard to trust any of these polls, but what you're seeing here is exactly what you're talking about. People are looking at Trump and saying, you know what, he's actually, you know, he's not on Twitter. So he's actually saying things that he actually ran on before, but being fairly, I would say, almost apologetic for the people that he had hired in his campaign speeches and in his media appearances. And he's been focusing with the base. So he's been pretty smart with that. He's still being attacked by the media, the mainstream media and the leftists, you know, but and many of them had thought that they wanted him to win the primary because they knew that they could beat him. But it turns out that when it's a head-to-head race with Trump against Biden, it's actually a 47-43 Trump favorability over Biden if the election were held this last week.
Yeah, I thought it was much higher than that, Jimmy.
Well, that's – yeah, again, these polls, you know, it's hard to judge any of them. But, again, many people right now are still – I mean, it's early in the primary season.
You bet.
The one thing that I will say is that Biden is dropping – exponentially in favorability ratings. You know, he's just almost, you know, when I shouldn't say exponentially, but he's dropping points every week.
Yeah.
And his policies are the reason why, not just his age. People had ignored that before. They ignored the gaffes and the lies, because that's all he does is basically when he opens his mouth now, he makes a mistake. They ignored that, but they're now feeling the impact of his policies. Now, what you see with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he's actually coming out and saying things that Democrats have not heard. And that's going to – I mean, they're talk about COVID, talking about the control of the Democratic Party by big corporate entities, you know, forgetting the common working class Democrat. And RFK Jr. is coming out and saying, hey, look, this is – you know, this is not the Democratic Party that we want.
You're damn right you're saying that, yeah.
And yeah, and as that resonates, you're going to see more growth. And we've seen, you know, incremental growth in just the early weeks that he's spoken and that he's talked. So, again, it's early in the process. Now, to your point, specifically to your point about a Trump RFK candidacy, there's a couple of things that RFK still supports, and that keeps him in the Democratic, you know, fold, and that's abortion rights. That would not fly in the Democratic, I'm sorry, in the Republican general election.
No.
That would be a really tough thing to do. So you'd be depending on moderate Democrats to kind of join with RFK in spite of hating Trump, but ultimately the vice presidential position is not powerful enough to drag those votes outside of your core base constituency.
Yeah, probably.
So I don't think that would work very well for them. However, what it does do, it undermines confidence in Biden.
Yeah.
It brings a lot of people into awareness of kind of the frauds that have gone on and the corruption behind the scenes. In spite of things like the ABC News, you know, actually openly admitting they censored his comments on COVID, which is unbelievable. And it actually apparently could potentially be illegal against federal law for a news media organization to censor a presidential candidate's comments.
Right.
So I think it's a very important addition to this race and to the future of the country to have someone like RFK come out and speak against some of the issues there. I don't know if he ever expected to win, but I do think that he as a Democrat, is going to try to shift them back towards a more moderate position. And I think that Trump is going to have the cultural support, the policy support, and ultimately the electoral support if he can avoid – well, you know, he makes mistakes often, but somehow he's managed to survive.
Yeah.
If somehow he can go through this without the corruption.
Yeah. Well, I guess the only comment I can make here at this point, I think we've said it all, Jim, but I think a thing that's I would like to really know is I'd like to know if you guys agree with my wild-ass comment that the reason Trump is so popular and the reason that Bobby Kennedy Jr. is so popular is because they're mavericks. The United States has been built on the actions of mavericks. That's all I got to say.
No, I think you're right. And I think that's going to have an impact. I think people like Elon Musk are going to have an impact.
Sure they are.
Mark Zuckerberg had an impact on the last election. Let's see how much power he has this time.
Yeah.
There's some interesting information that is coming out. A very interesting little piece that came out from, I think, Rasmussen Reports.
What was that?
And it's kind of alluding to some information that may show that Kinect was the company that actually provided voter data for many, many states. Mm-hmm. And they had tried to sue True the Vote.
Yeah.
Because the True the Vote had said, hey, look, you were sending the data to China. Well, it turns out that Kinect actually dropped their defamation lawsuit against True the Vote. And of course, the True to Vote people, Catherine Engelbreit and I don't remember the other gentleman's name, but they ended up actually spending some time in jail for contempt because they wouldn't get the sources of their information.
Yeah.
But according to this very somewhat cryptic bit of information from Rasmussen, that there is data coming out to prove that China has a lot of the data that Kinect had and that, in fact, they may have directly influenced the election. So we're going to see more about that, and it's going to force people to really rethink some of their arguments in the past. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that.
Oh, I think I'm curious to see what's going to happen over the course of that whole movie. And it is going to be an action-packed movie, and in a sense, kind of a comedy, certainly a lot of satire in it. I think that's going to happen, and I think it's going to be a blockbuster at the various cinemas where it's showing. Having said that, James, do you want to talk about anything else? We've kind of dissected the personalities of Trump and Kennedy. There's got to be other things out there, though.
Oh, I think there's a couple of interesting things. North Carolina had been moving towards a purple state, and of course their governor right now is a Democrat, but it has a Republican legislature. The lieutenant governor is actually Republican. He's a black Republican. He'd served in the Navy, and he got famous on a speech that he gave to a county council, I believe, about gun control and the fact that he was black. And that brought him to political prominence. And now Robinson, the gentleman from North Carolina that's running for governor as a Republican – and a staunch Republican, he's actually up significantly, Mark Robinson, with 43% of the vote.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good. And that he's way up over the other candidates very positively. And in that same poll, you see Trump actually ahead as well in what was once a purple considered a purple state. So we're going to see what happens in North Carolina. It's a critical one for the 2024 election.
Yeah.
But once again, Al, it really does come down to who's counting, not who's voting, but who's counting.
And it does come down to that. And I got to tell you, I lose sleep over that at night sometimes, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
I live in a country where that is a very good possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, Trump's up 55% with GOP voters in North Carolina, and that's ahead of DeSantis at 22%.
Yeah,
and of course Pence with 8%. So you've got the handful of rhinos that are being more diminished each day.
Yeah,
and I was at our county Republican meeting last night, and I think there were maybe four or five rhinos left in the audience, but the place was packed, and there was a lot of young people in there that want to get involved.
Yeah,
I'm shocked at actually how many people are coming out to get involved, because they see what's happening in America, they see what's happening in our cities, and they see what's happening in our local elections, and they are getting activated.
Yeah, well, that's good for the party.
It is. Well, it's good for the country if we get some pushback against some
of course it is.
Crazy ideologies.
Yeah, of course it is. What else, James?
I don't know how much time have we gone today. I don't want to kill everybody off again. We could talk a little bit about what's happening in Ukraine with the Ukrainian military actually quietly beginning an offensive operation that the Russians are actually trying to survive. Trying to protect themselves. The Ukrainians have actually pushed out some Russian positions in Bakhmut.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people had expected and thought, and argued over the last few months that Bakhmut was taken by Russian Wagner forces, their mercenary team. But it's actually quite a problem. And Putin has actually announced that he's canceling celebrations over their Victory Day parade. And this is the biggest event in Russian popular celebrations.
Right.
Their Victory Day parade is the biggest one they've ever done. I mean, that's the biggest thing they do every year. It's super important to them to show their strength. And the military parade is usually on the 9th of May for the Victory Day for World War II.
Yeah.
May Day.
Right. Not May Day, but you're right.
No, May Day is the first. That's labor. Yeah. That's the socialist
right.
day. But 9 May is actually Victory Day.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the senior people have actually canceled their participation because of potential threats.
Yeah.
And that's because of Ukrainian drones that have reached near Moscow.
Yeah.
In this war. And I believe that they're concerned about a potential attack on Red Square during the Victory Day parade. That would actually be humiliating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite astounding to see for something like that. So that they would actually cancel them. So it does, in spite of what everybody would like to believe that supports this entire Russian advance and attempt to intimidate and control parts of Ukraine, the Russians are having a tough time, and Putin is going to even have a tougher time, I think, here. The Ukrainians have built a rather sizable maneuver capability and are beginning to use that, and that is in support of Western precision-guided weapons that the Russians are unable to counter.
Yeah. James, I got a question for you. One of the comments that I kind of had to scratch my head over, and I believe it came in probably at some point on Saturday after the weekend show went up, but I think it was Tony. It was either Tony or Ebelon asked, he said, why does the United States support Russia at this point in time? And, I kind of scratched my head and the answer...
Russia or Ukraine?
Other way.
So the question was, why does the United States support Ukraine?
No, why does the United States support... Yeah, Ukraine, right. It was Ukraine because I think they also put in the extra words, Ukraine and all of the Nazis, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what I wrote down after I scratched my head a little bit was I said, because I firmly believe that the majority of Americans support the underdog. And I think the underdog to a large extent here is Ukraine.
Yeah. Ukraine had been working towards, there's a lot of reasons why that the United States or I think in general, there is popular support for Ukraine. Nobody wants to be invaded.
No.
And of course, we could have said the same thing for the people, back when the United States invaded Iraq.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be invaded. The Ukrainian people had made it fairly clear in their electoral process that they wanted to move more towards Western Europe.
Yeah.
And towards the European Union. There was financial incentives. There was, there were globalist incentives. There's no question. Those are things that actually kind of bother people. But two things can be true at the same time. One is you can, be moving towards the West and at the same time, you can still have nationalist ideologies.
Yeah.
And of course, the Ukrainians had a lot more nationalism than what people thought.
You bet they did.
So
continue to do.
Yeah, and it's the war is a horrible, horrible thing. But remember, Vladimir Putin made a decision to invade based on his two basic philosophies, the Nazis and to stop NATO expansion. Now, that was his argument, but the reality was it was a power play.
Yeah.
And Europeans are afraid of Russia. The ones, especially the countries that are in the East that were formerly under the thumb of the Soviet Union.
Right.
They know the level of corruption inside Moscow. Now, the level of corruption in Kiev wasn't much different because they were so connected still. And that was a big push of why Zelensky and his government was put in power on the expectation that they would separate away from that oligarchic control.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing a lot of propaganda, a lot of misinformation that kind of paints the Zelensky government as the same as what was in the past. But it's the reality is those two things cannot be true at the same time. You can't say that he was moving towards the EU, but at the same time, he and towards globalist tendencies, and he was more liberal in his ideologies, at the same time saying he was authoritarian Nazi. And that's what the argument is, that's very confusing for people that support Russia.
Yeah.
If you ask me, that's just not going to resonate.
No, I don't think so. I think you got a good point. I think Americans are too much, they have too much of a go underdog philosophy. There's no question about that. Jimmy, we've been going 22 minutes. Let's can it here.
All right. Yeah, let me finish up one more comment with Ukraine. And I just, again, a lot of people are being hoodwinked, both supporters, that are kind of naive to what's happening. And then the ones that are anti-Ukraine, the U.S. supporters of Ukraine, there's a lot of propaganda out there. There's no question.
No, of course there is, Jim.
But ultimately, when you look at the strategic view of where you would rather be, would you want Putin to control more with his very powerful oligarchic group of leaders there in Moscow? Would you prefer to have him control a very key set of ground in Europe? Or would you prefer to have people that wanted to fight for their own independence and autonomy? That's the ultimate. The Ukrainians are fighting for their independence.
You bet. You bet. And Americans can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No question. Jimmy, thank you so much, bud.
You bet.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.